the sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answers to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigour on those who run ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the staff. Did I get that right? Mm-hmm. And grasps the spindle with her fingers. I'm just, you know, creating the halfway here because it's a long chapter. Don't know about for you, but it is for me. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected in the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her husband and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And this is James Q. Verse 31. Honour her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord.
So now it's Colossians 1:28 and chapter 2:3. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And on to chapter 2. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Jackson. And thanks to Ian and Jane for reading. If you'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 31, page 569 of our Bibles. And we're just tasting wisdom these last week and this week. Such is the value of this book of the Bible. And as we do so, we're sort of thinking about that Colossians idea of wanting to grow up in Christ, grow to maturity. God does seek to grow every believer, every church, in Christ-like godliness. And so what are the ways he does that? Many ways. Learning wisdom is one very key way. So Proverbs 31, what a woman. Won't you agree? What an amazing woman. She can do everything. Everything good, always doing good, always serving others, always looking after a family, not neglecting herself, but managing things. She's the manager of a business. It sounds like she's a managing director. She's an investor. She's a business acquirer. She's a profit maker. She's a homemaker. She's a mother. She's amazing. So amazing that she causes lots of different reactions. She causes some, especially women that I've spoken to be uneasy because she sets such a high standard. In fact, she causes... I spoke to one woman who felt just overwhelmed with guilt and an abject failure because she's been told, you've got to be this woman. And she reads Proverbs 31 with humility and with eagerness to try. But she, as she tries, she finds... I just can't do all these things at once. It's just too much going on here. One woman sort of like that I was reading. She writes little pieces online, a blog post, and the title of her blog post was, I hated the Proverbs 31 woman. And the reason is because she'd been told, well, you've got to be like this. If you're going to be a dutiful wife, a right woman, you've got to be this woman. Do you know, we're so finely tuned to equality, inequality in our day and age, we might even be tempted, or some might even be tempted to think that this chapter is against women because, like, she's the one working and providing, and it sounds like he's just sitting on his backside at the gate with his mates. What's happening with this chapter? It causes so many different reactions. From the decidedly negative, I hated this woman, to the glowingly positive, wow, what a woman, Wonder Woman. The reactions stem from different ways that we're to receive her, this wife of noble character. How are we to receive her? And different people teach and interpret this chapter in different ways. Let me give you just three really brief different ways that people interpret the Proverbs 31 wife of noble character. And these three are, I've got to say, less convincing to me. I'll then give you a fourth. But one teaches her as the moral example to follow. They find this glowingly positive example of a woman in the Bible. And so therefore, don't sort of read the context or whatever, but just think, such a positive example. Well, you better do it. Over to you. And because it's a wife of noble character, they think, well, whose wives here, or potential wives? Over to you, ladies. You've got to... And it's no surprise, therefore, that a number of women find this chapter just so heavy to bear, and some crying out under the weight of such an interpretation. I'm not convinced that the clues the chapter gives lead us to interpret it like that. I'll tell you how I think we should interpret it in a moment. But even Jesus, remember when Jesus says, if you come and follow me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, becomes similar. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. So if Jesus is saying that, I don't think that sort of neatly fits with those who interpret Proverbs 31 are saying, this is the word for all women at all time. They've got to be this, the moral example. So a second then. Because others feel that she sets such an impossibly high standard, others interpret this as being a composite picture of many women. She's so multi-talented and competent. Oh, it's not one woman. It's all wise women rolled up into one. Or a variation of the same is saying it's the outworking personification of wisdom, which we met in chapter 8. You don't have to be her, but she's the outcome of the wise life that we meet in many women. She's a composite. Well, that might be the case. Just that that little way of interpreting doesn't seem to take the up close and personal nature of the chapter far enough. Like it says there in verse 28, the children love their mum. They call her blessed. The husband praises her. Like it's particular and personal. It doesn't sound like it's a composite. It doesn't sound like it's a sort of a far off figure to admire. So a third view, and a third view of a way of holding the Proverbs 31 woman at arm's length, is to say, yes, she's wonderful. Yes, to be like her would be wonderful. And yes, one day we will be like her. And they push forward to eternity. Jesus is coming back. He's going to take all who are his and make them like to be like him. And so one day we will be like him, and that means we'll be like her. She's the sort of living embodiment of godliness, perfected. And it's true, it's gloriously true. One day you will be like Jesus Christ. Don't you long for that? Where sin is no more, where aches and pains are no more, where ungodliness is no more. Just that, to take Proverbs 31 in that way, I think pushes the picture here too far into the future. Proverbs aims for wise living in the here and now. Like we just said, a soft answer turns away wrath, a harsh answer stirs up anger. It wants us to live the godly life. So, each of those different ways of thinking about Proverbs 31 do have little aspects that are true. In the end, they're less convincing. And I think what we're best to do then is to go back to the book, Proverbs, and go back to the chapter 31, to figure out how are we to receive this wife of noble character. Various clues help us a lot. One clue is that Proverbs is a book written, by and large, from fathers and mothers to sons soon to be king. So you think it's the wisdom of Solomon, and Solomon says, "Hear my son." Or in chapter 4, Solomon says, "Oh, I remember when my dad said words to the effect, 'Hear my son.'" Here's the king, David, teaching Solomon. Or here in our case, look at 31 verse 1, the sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. So here's a mum saying, "Lemuel, you're soon to be king. Here's what you need. Listen to my instruction." So it's no surprise to find that the final appeal of the book of Proverbs is an appeal for Lemuel, soon to be king, to find a wife characterised by wisdom, as opposed to 31 verse 3, just living his own way for his own pleasure, which brings no help to God's people. So there's one clue. It's a word from fathers and mothers to sons, soon to be king. So that helps us understand a bit why we've got a noble wife, a wife of noble character. Second clue, the woman described is shaped by wisdom. She's the embodiment of what wise teaching looks like. Have a look at verse 30. It says, "Charm is deceptive, beauty fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And this is not just some general observation that's generally true. No, it's very much connected to this wife of noble character. From verse 10 to verse 31, we've got a unit, a whole unit, because it's an acrostic poem, like an A to Z of a wife of noble character. Here's this woman. She's herself the embodiment of wisdom, and it says there in verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, faithful instructions on her tongue. Not only is she herself shaped by wisdom, but she's shaping others in the same way. Here's the outcome of a life lived according to wisdom. Here's Lemuel's mother sitting back, noticing, "Oh, my son's going to get a wife soon. Which wife is he going to choose?" And so on. How's it going to go? And the mother's saying, "Oh, would you find a wife that's characterised by wisdom? Because when you do, the life of wisdom works out so well. Where a rash son is just tempted to go after and do whatever his feelings tell him is best, here's a wise mother saying, wise character results in blessing. Walking on the narrow path, to use the image Jesus gives us, ends up being so worthwhile. And the chapter piles up the different ways that this woman is a blessing. And it just gives the one instruction at the end. This also was helpful to see, I think. Verse 31. It doesn't say, be her. What it says is, honour her. Give her the praise that she's due. So this all leads me to conclude that where Lemuel is to aspire to find such a wife, Christians are to aspire to live such a life. She's an aspiration to go after. In other words, the wisdom that characterises her life is what we're to aspire to in our life. Aspire to have God's wisdom shape you, and God will cause you to be a blessing to so many, as she is a blessing to many. She's held out, I think, for our aspiration. Think of an analogy. We, in New Zealand, every year for the last decade or so, have the New Zealander of the Year Awards. Do you know what I mean? And who gets those awards, or what's the criterion for those awards? Well, they seek to... I got my researcher to look this up. They seek to celebrate those New Zealand people who use their skills and passions to make an outstanding contribution to the well-being of our nation. So who's making an outstanding contribution to New Zealand? Well, we'll put them up as a possible candidate for New Zealander of the Year. So there's two people that I caught my eye for this year. There's an engineer, Peter Beck. He's designed and developed a rocket to launch small satellites into orbit from New Zealand. And these little rockets then collect data and analyse and help analyse how our planet is doing. And he's up for being recognised as New Zealander. Or consider Anne Gaze. She's a social entrepreneur and she's worked hard on eradicating landmines in various places in the world, Europe, Africa, and she's skilled in working with governments and agencies in many countries to achieve that end. So she's not just making an outstanding contribution in New Zealand, but actually around the world that makes her worthy to be considered as a New Zealander of the Year. When we have such people, Peter or Anne, or what are we saying? Are we saying, New Zealanders, you have to be her or him? No, we're not saying that. What we're saying is, look at these Kiwis. They're doing amazing work. Aspire yourself to be making an outstanding contribution to New Zealand. We want people in New Zealand that are doing that. Do you see? It's an aspiration. It's not saying imitate. It's saying aspire to be a person like this. I think in the same way, Proverbs 31 is holding up this wife of noble character and saying to us, what a lady, what a life. Honour her and then aspire to have a life shaped by wisdom as she does. Because then in your own way, you'll be, God willing, a blessing to many. Aspirate. Does that make sense to you? Good, thank you for the nod. And if I've got that right, it means that Proverbs 31 is a message to many more than those who would be or who are wives. It's a message to every Christian who would be wise. Does that include you? Aspire to live the life of wisdom. And so then we ask, well, what is the life of wisdom? Where does it lead to? And actually what we get is then this catalogue of blessings that come from a life of wisdom. I want to just point out a couple of these. We could spend a good half an hour at least walking through each little detail. But let's look more, just for a moment, three or four different ways that wisdom has trained this woman. The first is there, verse 11 and 12. Wisdom has trained her to be faithful. She's a person of faithfulness. Her husband has full confidence in her, lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. What an amazing woman. That the husband can think, I have complete confidence in her. That there's no shadow of a doubt that what she says she will do, that she's got my good, even if it sounds like something else is going, no, she's for my good. Oh, she's so faithful. What a situation to have. What a relationship to be in. No wonder it says that she's worth far more than rubies. She's so precious. She's worth more than the most precious of stones, of fine gems. And the point is that it's wisdom that's brought her here. As she's learned wisdom, it's led to her growing in faithfulness. Don't you long to grow in faithfulness and be considered a person of real reliability? I long for that. Wisdom trains us in being faithful. Second, she's a woman of fruitfulness. Have a look there, verse 13 to 19. Such an amazingly hard worker. And emphasising the diligence of her hands, wisdom trains her to be doing this diligent, fruitful labour. She's like the merchant ship. She's gathering. Then the picture there in verse 15, she's a hard worker, working till the wee small hours of the morning. She's an investor, careful, considering. She's vigorous, her hands strong for the task. Verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable. She doesn't just sort of, buy and hope. No, she's on the job. And in her hand, she's holding the distaff. I didn't know what a distaff is, but it's related to knitting and looming and so on and so forth. But here she is. She's not just encouraging others and involving others in the work. She herself is involved. What a productive woman. Wisdom trains the Christian to be productive and active. Do you know that verse from Ephesians 2, verse 10? By grace you've been saved through faith. And then it goes on to say, we are what God has made, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The Christian always has a work in front of them. The Christian always has activity to be busy with, that is, according to our abilities and situations. There might be a person to pray for. There might be a person to ring. There might be a person to visit. There might be a meal to cook. There might be whatever the work is. Wisdom trains the Christian to be active at work, not just sitting on the couch and serving myself. Ours is an active life of faith. How do you grow in activity if you're feeling a bit sluggish? Wisdom will train you for this. This is a woman of great fruitfulness. She's also then a person who provides. Verses 21 to 25 really bring out this idea of provision. She provides for her family in winter. Wisdom trains you to think ahead. It's going to be cold. I'll need a coat. Wisdom trains her to be providing for more than just her family, though. See that there in verse 20. Wisdom leads her to be productive and to therefore have, but then to share all that she has with the poor, with the needy. Generosity in her provision. And such is her provision that it's an enabling provision. Look at verse 23. Her husband is respected at the city gate when he takes his seat among the elders of the land. He's not having a rest. He's not just sitting there with his mates at the gate. No, the city gate is the equivalent of the city council chambers. Such is the provision of this amazing woman that the husband is enabled to consider the wider needs of the city. He's doing the different work of attending to and making decisions for the good of the community, like at the city council office. How can he do that? Well, because she's provided everything that's needed on the home front. Here's a woman who provides. wisdom has shaped her, trained her to be a provider, a nurturer. And then lastly, let me just mention how wisdom has shaped and changed her character, what she's like as a person. Verse 10, just doesn't it stand out? A wife of noble character, who can find? It's a beautiful, a strong word. If you've read the C.S. Lewis book, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, do you remember the four different children? And one of them is Lucy. And she's known as Lucy the Valiant. Strong and brave. That's the idea here. A wife of strong, brave, noble character. That's this woman. Wisdom has trained her, shaped her character to be like that. It's beautiful. I like the... Beth, have we got the little slide that we can put up? Have a look at this. Here's a little kid that loves his mum. Mum, I love you so much my heart could break. Now, that's written in, I would think, classic four-year-old English. But here's a child that picks up on his or her mother's character, where it says there, her children arise and call her blessed. Well, surely that's what that little kid's doing. Having such a character shaped by wisdom that the even the children recognise it, praise the Lord. I should say, you can take that off, Beth, thanks. End of verse 28, her husband also, he praises her. Just a word to husbands, if you find praiseworthy wisdom, beautiful Christian character in your wife, don't hesitate to praise your wife and thank God for it. In our day and age, our culture, we tend to run down each other, make jokes at each other's expense. Oh, to be shaped by wisdom, where we can actually praise the beautiful, valiant character that we see wisdom forming. Well, here are four things: faithfulness, fruitfulness, provision, and character. Which wisdom grow these in a person. Wisdom bring these out in a most beautiful way that proves to be such a blessing to so many. Oh, for a life of wisdom, to be like her. Don't you aspire to have such a life? I just want, the application is, aspire to have Proverbs shape you this year. Join me. Let's be a church together that seek God's wisdom and grow in godliness. As I said before, I plan to read through this book slowly. I have to read it slowly because it takes a long time for me to think. Twice. I plan to read through it twice, once in the first half and second half of the year, and be asking God to put his finger on some area where growth is clearly needed. And can I assure you, there's lots of growth clearly needed. Read this book this year. The life of wisdom is not easy. Pride that rears up and says, oh, I don't need to change, I'm wise enough in my own eyes, or the flesh, the sort of desires. I don't want to give up that area of my life. I like to nurture that it should be given up. Or even friends saying, don't go that way, go this way with us, the wide way. It's hard to be shaped by wisdom, but so worth it. Jesus has those two paths, doesn't he? The narrow way, the wide path. Or as we read at the start of the service, the wise man hears these words and puts them into practice. Doesn't just hear them only, practices them. So be people this year that practice this wisdom. But let's just finish with the woman who wrote, I hated the Proverbs 31 woman. What of her? Where did she finish? She said she hated the Proverbs 31 woman because she just felt the crushing burden that she had to be this woman. And she just felt, I can't match up to that. It's impossible. Then she had cause to reflect on her grandmother who passed away. And she did. She spent quite a lot of time reflecting on the things that she loved about her grandmother. And she noticed her grandmother's character. Gentle and kind and generous and so on. And she noticed actually her grandmother's, the way that her grandmother loved and cared for her grandfather, in a way that her grandfather always used to praise his wife. Oh, she noticed actually that her grandmother was involved when she was a younger woman, a number of different groups and activities where they did much good in the community. And she noticed, actually, she was so dependable as a woman. It's one of the things that made her stand out to this blogger. This grandmother's name was Lucille, and the woman writing said, "As I reflected on Lucille's life, my dear grandmother, I came to see that actually she did embody the Proverbs 31 when taken right across the span of her life. Because her character was shaped by wisdom. God had done that work. And there were those different aspects to her life. She said, I came to love the Proverbs 31 woman. Because a life lived in wisdom is a beautiful life. Don't you aspire to it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you put such wondrous pictures before our eyes. Please, Lord, would you shape us as a church by your wisdom this year? Please, Lord, would you put your finger on those areas of life that we need to grow, to be sharpened and challenged by, that we need to put off or put on or pick up? Please, God, would you in this way refine us to be more and more godly like Jesus? Give us, God, the capacity not only to think and to understand what's being taught, but give us the courage to put it into practice. God, we do long to be those wise who hear your word and put it into practice. We need your Spirit's help for this, Lord. Please help. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.